You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation. You're listening to Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for subscribing on Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, or on Himalaya. My name is David Ramil. Today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car or truck will ever need. That's RockAuto.com. Fishing, drinking beer, and Instagram models. Not just my typical Saturday, but rather that's life from inside the Orlando bubble. The Philadelphia 76ers are a potential playoff opponent for the Miami Heat and are making a lineup change that could impact Miami's odds. But I'll begin today's show with an explanation. I meant to record yesterday, Monday, but could not do so. Technical issues that prevented me from making a full recording, so I apologize for that. I'm going to try to get back to daily shows now that the season is ramping up. I know I've been a little off as far as daily programming, but there hasn't been a whole heck of a lot to talk about. But as we're moving forward, we have daily Zoom conference calls with the team. We've got different changes and news and everything else that's taking place around not just the league, but the Heat, of course, itself. And so I'll be talking about that as much as possible and also covering games once they're available in late July and early August. But moving on, the Heat are missing two starters, even as they've been practicing inside the Orlando bubble. A little bit of an explanation, obviously, as I mentioned before, Zoom conference calls have been taking place between the team and media members. Heat PR has been arranging for those and then organizing Heat media members, such as myself, to be on these Zoom calls. Late last week, there was a conference call where they had Goran Dragic as one of the speakers. Eric Spoelstra has been doing that. This is typical of practices, by the way. The team practices, you wait around, and then Spo always comes out and addresses media because he's going to field some question, whether it's about injuries, whether it's about the latest lineup changes or the upcoming opponent, anything at all. Spo's always there. Wants to get out of there as quickly as possible, but that's just Spo. He doesn't want to take too many questions. He's always half out the door as soon as he's put on the spot anyway, but that's a whole other story. Moreover, after Spo spoke, then they brought Goran Dragic out as one of the most media-friendly members of the Miami Heat. Jimmy Butler's still not available to media members at large. That's a whole, again, other story. But as far as Goran is concerned, he was available. He talked as eloquent as possible. There's always going to be a language issue for Goran, one that he's tried very, very hard to overcome, that he's talked to me about feeling somewhat insecure because it's not a native language. He speaks Spanish. He speaks Slovenian. He speaks English. That's a lot more than I do. And at the same time, he's still not 100% comfortable being a vocal leader, something that's kind of kept him from that next step as far as becoming that most vocal leader in a locker room, although he does and has evolved in many, many ways. That's a whole other story. I said that three times already in this podcast. Goran was talking, and some members of the media tried fishing for information regarding who was not available. As you recall, we had heard a couple weeks ago that there was a player or two that were missing. Then we started to get a little bit more information as we saw Instagram or different Twitter posts regarding the Heat showing up at the Orlando bubble. We saw Jimmy Butler. We saw Duncan Robinson. We saw Myers Leonard. We saw Goran, et cetera, et cetera, but we didn't see a couple players, and so it was kind of a question mark as to who those players were that had possibly contracted the coronavirus. At least that was the line of thinking. We knew that two players had contracted it. We weren't sure who they were. Everybody was playing internet sleuthing. Then all of a sudden, as Goran is fielding questions, he reveals that Bam Adebayo and Kendrick Nunn have not been part of the team, and once they come back, and this was in context of Goran's answer, he says, well, once they're back, we'll be at full strength and we can start practicing and going back to our normal routine, etc. Immediately, even though media members at large had said that they wouldn't reveal the information, that they wouldn't talk about this, that because the team was trying to keep these things private, that they would maintain that privacy and their integrity, etc., etc. A load of bullshit, if you ask me. But anyway, that was the reality there. They were trying to be, you know, at least keeping their names out of the news for a little while. Then once Goran lets the unfortunate cat out of the bag, every reporter on that Zoom call, or at least a handful of them, immediately went to Twitter to post that Bam and Kendrick Nunn were not with the team. They are the likeliest ones to contract the coronavirus. The team hasn't confirmed it. Doesn't need to. We've already known that for a while. Reporters already knew who it was that had been tested positive for the coronavirus. We just didn't reveal it. And then once Goran again revealed it, then that was an opportunity for us to quote-unquote break news, and I'm not even sure what the point of it is. So I'll talk about the ethics of it later on in the segment, but I also wanted to address quickly what Bam and Kendrick's absence mean in context for Miami in the playoffs. Nothing. In reality, they won't be here for a few days. Once they are cleared and have tested negatively for the coronavirus, they'll be able to travel to Orlando. Once they do that, they'll have to be quarantined for a number of days. They'll be continuing to be tested for a regular number of days. Once they're cleared again, then they'll be able to resume practices, etc. So they have a couple of weeks. They'll probably be able to at least be involved in some practices before games start playing again in early August, and they should be in full health relatively quickly. Now, my concerns, and I did tweet something about this, you should definitely read a piece by Baxter Holmes of ESPN, who has done some great legwork as far as the medical aspect of the coronavirus and how it impacts the NBA. And one of the things that a lot of doctors and epidemiologists have talked about is that we don't know what the long-term effects of the coronavirus are. Even though they seem to be in full health, Derek Jones in particular seems to be at full health. We haven't heard anything negative about his practicing or anything like that. There is the potential for long-term impacts, not just to your cardiovascular system, but to your respiratory systems particularly, that you're going to be winded more easily. And that is a concern because you've got young players like Nunn and Adebayo who are in their early 20s and have a full life ahead of them, not just in basketball, but outside of it. And for them to potentially be impacted because of the contraction of the coronavirus is a little alarming. So we're not sure what it's going to mean for Kendrick and Bam specifically. First and foremost, I should also add that they are in great health, that they're showing no symptoms of it, and they've been very, very fortunate, and that we wish them, on behalf of all of Locked On Nation, nothing but 100% return to normalcy and full health. That goes for all of us, but specifically for Bam and Kendrick. But I'd also say that we don't know exactly what's going to happen in the future, but in the short term, they'll be available to the Heat in Orlando. They'll be there and ready to play. They'll be rusty just as everybody else is, and they'll be doing workouts and things of that sort just as all the other players have been doing around the league. They are not the only ones who tested positively. Just hours before recording this, Russell Westbrook tested positively, or at least the news that he had tested positively was revealed. We've had a number of cases already. We've had players step out of the bubble and contract the virus, or not contract the virus, but have to go back through quarantine. Orlando is a very delicate situation, and it's very difficult to maintain the integrity of it in many, many ways. So Bam and Kendrick are going through the right protocols here. The NBA has done everything possible to try to ensure their safety. Well, aside from canceling the season outright, which is a whole that's a bigger issue that I have addressed on a number of occasions, and I've been opposed to the resumption of the season as much as I love to see it. Now, I'll address the ethics of it before moving on to the next segment, because I think it's really unfortunate and crappy behavior of some of our media members to go and express, to be so opportunistic to break those news. If you're going to say at first when you find out the news that players have tested positive, if you're going to say, oh, well, you know, we're going to maintain our integrity by not revealing the names because the team doesn't want their names revealed, because the players haven't authorized us to reveal their names, be consistent. Don't just take the very first opportunity when Goran unfortunately mentioned something because he was trapped by asking several questions about the same thing over and over. And I'll have you know, the question itself was purely a trap. Oh, what's it like not being at full steam, etc.? Absolutely ridiculous. They were clearly trying to bait him into revealing what was going on. And it was just unfortunate that Goran, because of a slight language barrier, was unable to kind of see his way out of it. Maybe somebody else a little bit more polished. Again, we're talking about NBA players that just came out of a three-hour practice, that just, you know, have gone through months and months of quarantine, etc. Maybe they weren't so focused and maybe not so aware that media members were going to try and fish these answers out. I find it, the whole thing was just distasteful. The players didn't want that information out there. There's no way that reporters should have taken advantage of Goran's vulnerability to do so. And I'm very, very disappointed in the whole thing. But aside from the ethics of it, at least we can move on. Bam will eventually be there with the team, as will Kendrick. Two starters. It seems like a lot worse as far as the team's consistency and play and things of that sort. But more importantly, they're all going to be healthy, hopefully within the next few days, weeks. And once they clear, the next few rounds of tests and are available outside of quarantine, they'll rejoin the team and continue to practice the way they always have. What's been going on inside the Orlando bubble, I'll give you the details in the next segment. You're listening to Locked On Heat. RockAuto.com is a family business that's been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. You go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They're easy to use. If you want to save money, and believe me, everybody loves saving money, especially when it comes to fixing your car, you use RockAuto.com if you're one of those handy do-it-yourselfers. I am not, but I was still able to do so very, very easily. Went there, went to the website, found the parts I was looking for, had them delivered the next few days. Was able to make those changes to my car, my wife's car specifically, in a couple of hours. Saved me hundreds of dollars by just using rockauto.com. If you want to save that money, you go there. Again, very, very easy to navigate. You'll see all the parts. The prices are easy to figure out. They have some specific prices for the parts that you're looking for. You can always get reliably low prices. It's the same for professionals or do-it-yourselfers. So why spend up to twice as much when you go to an auto parts store? Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. And then you go to the How Did You Hear About Us box and let them know we sent you by writing in Locked On. Amazing selection, reliably low price, all the parts your car will ever need. That's rockauto.com. Just a reminder to listen to, subscribe, and leave a review whenever possible on your favorite app to listen to podcasts, and that you always get the latest episode by asking your smart device to play Locked On Heat when you get in your car to get your team every day. You've probably been keeping up just as much as everybody as far as what's going on in the Orlando bubble, and it's interesting. It is, I cannot reiterate enough how much of a strange experiment this is about what's going on. Nothing like this has ever happened before. Evan Fournier of the Orlando Magic talked about this being somewhat of an Olympic Village kind of vibe to it, and that it's a very small campus environment. Everybody's there. It's not quite the same thing. For one, it's obviously just limited to NBA male basketball players, so it's not the same thing as in Orlando. As an Olympic Village. Players have been going in, first of all, again, to go through the whole process. We saw them arrive last Wednesday via bus. They got to Orlando, they disembarked, they went specifically to their rooms, they were ushered in there by Disney cast members and NBA staff. They were put into their respective rooms. A team of medical professionals went in, took tests of these players, left. Players were isolated and stuck in their rooms. They could not talk to anybody else. Food was delivered there, and then their bags were unpacked, things of this sort. They were, all the things that they had brought with them were available to them in the room. They stayed in the bubble. They stayed in their respective rooms for a couple of days. Not long enough, unfortunately, but they stayed there for a couple of days. And then once they were cleared, remember, they had been testing prior to this before. So the assumption was that everybody that arrived at the bubble was going to arrive there clean and testing negatively for the coronavirus. So far, it's been pretty consistent. They've been getting testing every day. As far as life in the bubble is concerned, they were, again, kept inside their rooms. Then they were finally able to get out. They've had their food issues. If you follow some players on Instagram or social media, they've been pretty upset about it. Some players like the quality of the room. Some players do not. Eventually, they were let out of their rooms, and they were able to go for their first practice late last week. They've been able to tour the facility a little bit. I believe their first practice was, on Friday. And then they went and had a couple days. So they've had 3 days of practice so far. Again, I'm recording this on a Monday. They've had three practices on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. They had Monday off because, again, players have been showing a lot of energy. At least that's what every player that's been available to us via Zoom calls have said, that there's been great consistency there, that there's a lot of competitiveness there, probably as a result of being kind of, trapped in one way or another for a few months due to the quarantine. And so now that they're actually able to participate and play, they've been going at it. Spo mentioned that they finally got into 5-on-5 on Saturday, a touch of 5-on-5 activity. And once he cut that short, players were kind of griping about it because they wanted to keep playing because they haven't been able to just get out and run and play the way that they have again in months. So, but again, they've been kind of going out, seeing the campus a little bit. They've been ordering food from outside of the bubble, which is, a little risky perhaps, but from what we understand, it hasn't been that much of an issue. Now, some players have violated that. We've heard already that I believe Bruno Caboclo of the Houston Rockets and Rashawn Holmes of the Sacramento Kings. I think those are the two that I've seen so far. They've stepped outside of the bubble for a couple of reasons. Caboclo has been rumored to have been asking a Instagram model to appear and go inside the bubble. She hinted that she was the first one to go in there. Others have hinted she's not the first one. So perhaps there are ways of sneaking into the bubble or not. I'm not sure if how legitimate those are. You know, there's a lot of clout chasing in the NBA and on social media. It's very, very difficult to kind of waft through the lies and you know, made up stories in order to see what the nuggets of truth actually are. But it's a potential risk. And I think that's the bigger issue is that, you know, we've got 300 some odd 20 something and 30 something year old men, maybe some of them without girlfriends or wives, that are looking to, you know, hook up and engage in some sexual activity. And well, a lot of people are interested in joining them for that kind of activity. And so I imagine it's not going to be a foolproof bubble. Hopefully it will be. I think NBA security and Walt Disney security, as well as police force from around the Orange County area, have done the best they possibly can to try it and maintain the integrity of that bubble. We'll see. Right now, it's less than a week old, and already we're starting to see some stories that it hasn't been exactly foolproof or you know, that the integrity is 100%. In addition to that, players have had various issues regarding room, food, things of that sort. The Heat, by and large, have loved it. They've been very consistent that, you know, you had a guy like Byers Leonard, who is probably on one end of the spectrum. He's like, you know, he's made this comment a couple of times already over the last few days. You know, he's pointed out that his brother, who has served a couple of tours with the Marines in Afghanistan and has put his life specifically on the line as a result of being in the military, you know, that's nothing. That what he's experiencing in Orlando is nothing in comparison to that. And so it's all about perspective. And then I asked that of Jay Crowder, you know, on Sunday, and he mentioned the same thing. He said, look, as far as the accommodations are concerned, the only difficult thing for me is not being with my daughter. And Goran Dragic, when asked about it, he said he didn't bring anything specific, and players were allowed to bring something specific for them. He said, I didn't bring any books or any kind of special toys or gaming systems or anything like that, because as long as I have my iPad or my tablet, my phone, I can FaceTime my wife and kids, and that's all that matters to him. So it's all about every player. Every person in that bubble has something specific that is helping them keep their sanity a little bit and keeping them focused, whether it's a gaming system or something like that. But for a guy like Goran, it's about wanting to be connected to his family again. And so it hasn't been so important for him. Now, the Heat have done something very nice in their player lounge, which is where players are spending most of their time. It's kind of a place to hang out, to watch video, to listen to music, to eat, things of that sort. Only Heat players and coaches are allowed in there. They're not allowed to fraternize with other players yet. It has not been allowed yet. So for now, they're hanging out in the Heat lounge. The Heat team itself were able to set up, you know, photos of family members for players and stuff like that, things that they got off of social media. So it's a nice reminder of the people that you miss back home. So you see, you know, Jay with his daughter, you see Goran with his kids, you see Myers with his family, and so on and so forth. And so these things have tried to bring a sense of normalcy, a sense of home, a sense of connection to the players while they're in the Orlando bubble. Because believe me, it is something that we're going to have to continue monitoring, is how difficult this process has been. As much as right now, they're kind of enjoying it. You see Myers Leonard and Duncan Robinson going out for walks and kind of just taking the sun after a couple of days of being trapped in there. You know, other guys are going around doing things. It's going to be difficult for them to try and stay in this bubble for the next 3 months, in some cases longer, depending on how long the playoff chase is. It could be over for a couple teams by, I believe, August, when the first round, mid-August, because games are going to start in late July, and then you've got a two-week period where you got to, you know, have to play 8 games, so one every other day for the most part. So some teams, you know, at least 6 teams that are not going to be in part of the playoffs. Right now there are 22 teams, only 16 teams advance, unless there's a play-in for the 8th seed in the Western Conference, which seems possible. You know, 6 teams are going to be eliminated within the next 6 weeks, but it's still, I mean, that's still a heck of a lot of time. You know, they're going to be in there for the next month without any access to their kids or family members, wives, girlfriends, things of that sort. Again, in theory, apparently some Instagram models find a way to get in there regardless. So, you know, I feel like the bubble has been successful. Still a lot of concern about the integrity of it, about people being able to sneak in and everything else. But if you're a player, like we've seen J.R. Smith, we've seen other players kind of comment on the food being ordered and you know, maybe it's not high quality, maybe it's kind of typical hotel food. It's unfortunate because they're griping. Players could bring in food, and players have brought in food and drinks and things of that sort. You know, we had some players bringing in coffee makers and other things. So even as I'm recording this, it seems two players in the NBA have already tested positive for the coronavirus on the Disney campus since being there. So it's going to be something to continue monitoring. I haven't looked at the news alert from Shams Charania of The Athletic. It's going to be difficult. You know, even as I'm talking about the integrity of the bubble being somewhat questionable, it's pretty clear that it is, but I'll get into that a little bit later in another upcoming episode. The Heat went 3-1 against the Sixers this season, but a change to the Philadelphia's lineup might be an issue in the playoffs. You're listening to Locked On Heat. Reminder that you can always reach me online at Locked On Heat or using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Just a little bit of clarification as we're continuing to get more news. As I mentioned prior to the break, you've probably seen some things about it by now as you're listening to this podcast. But basically what happened is that two players never were cleared of quarantine. All players, again, as I mentioned in the second segment, were quarantined once they entered the Orlando bubble. They never cleared a negative test, and so they were never released from the quarantine. They've since been sent home from the Orlando bubble. I don't know who those players are. Those names have not been released. I'm not sure if we're going to ever get those names. But two of the 322 players that were in the bubble have since been sent home so that they can quarantine at home because apparently they're just not getting any better in Orlando for some reason. So they may not ever return. That's a whole other story. And I'm not quite sure what the process is from now on. But well, as I continue to get more information, I'll let you all know about it as always. With teams around the league continuing to practice and prepare under unusual circumstances, the Philadelphia 76ers revealed some new wrinkles to their starting lineup in a Monday morning Zoom call with reporters. Head coach Brendan Brown mentioned that Ben Simmons has been playing a lot more off-ball during the last few days of practices. Then Joel Embiid, in his Zoom conference call, mentioned that Shake Milton has been part of the team's starting lineup. This is a quote from Embiid. He's been the starting point guard. I think he has a huge opportunity to help us accomplish what we believe we can. He's been doing an amazing job running the team. The lineup would be Shake Milton, Josh Richardson, Tobias Harris, Ben Simmons, and Embiid. And it seems like Milton's going to be running the point, which seems a little unusual considering how much Simmons has played mostly a LeBron-like role as the team's primary ball handler and shot creator. Milton averaged 17.8 points and 4.1 assists per game in the final nine games before play was stopped. He shot 57.4% from the field and 60.4% from three-point range. And the numbers show that Milton has been much better on the floor without Simmons. About 223 of Milton's 611 total minutes this season. He is a second-year player, and he has not gotten a lot of opportunity, but he's been getting more of it this past season. Of those, you know, 223 minutes, those have been played without Simmons, and his true shooting percentage is 67% without Ben Simmons on the floor, about 53% when they both play. So significantly improved when Milton has a lot more autonomy to run the show. I find myself a little skeptical that Simmons is going to take the back seat here. I know Embiid's quote is that Shake can run things and can manage the team as the starting point guard, but so much of what has made him effective has been basically as a spot-up shooter or a kind of secondary ball handler, a guy that can create shots, you know, for himself as a good shooter. But I just don't know that that's necessarily the most efficient thing to take the ball out of Simmons' hands somewhat. Now, Shake's running the point, dish it off to Simmons, let him run the half-court offense a little bit. I'm trying to think how that might work. Feed it into Embiid in the low post and watch him draw fouls or kind of flare out there, make a little move in the low post and get to the rim and maybe finish with the and one. I could see that kind of being the nature of the offense with Richardson and Tobias being played way, way off ball and then only catch and shoot situations for them at best, maybe continuing to drive and kick, depending on whether or not Embiid is walled off from the rim. That's a possibility. Again, there are pros and cons to the moves for Philadelphia, and I'll get into those. For you know, the pros, he shoots really well, obviously. He's a good shooter. He's another ball handler and shot creator, so it's great to have him out on the floor for Philadelphia. He's very dangerous as a catch-and-shoot player. The numbers show that he's very, very dangerous as a catch-and-shoot player. He's a great shooter. And it also keeps Al Horford on the bench because he's been most effective there. That's been a very difficult fit alongside Embiid for Horford, and as good as Horford is, even at this tail end of his career, probably better for him to come off the bench and be an impactful player. So how does this impact Miami? That's the big question, obviously, is how are the Heat going to match up with this new version of 76ers? Before the change, I would have said that Miami actually matched up pretty well with the 76ers. There was a lot of factors there in Miami's favor. If you could limit Embiid from getting his points, Simmons is not much of a factor because of his outside shooting. You didn't have much of consistency from Tobias Harris or Josh Richardson, and Al Horford's a little bit past his prime, so he wasn't really the impact player that they expected when they signed him for the kind of money that they did earlier in the offseason. But now Miami has a much more difficult challenge, in my opinion. If you've got Ben Simmons kind of off ball, he's a little bit more dangerous there. He can pick his spots a little bit more carefully. He can be a cutter, use his size to get to the rim a little bit more effectively. He's still a good passer. Obviously, he's still a very high-quality defender. But now you also have Milton out there spacing the floor. You've got the offense geared now towards Simmons being... It minimizes his weaknesses. Instead of now those become much more obvious in the offense they used to run, now it's him and four theoretic shooters from the perimeter. Tobias Harris, Richardson, Milton, and Embiid can all shoot from the perimeter. Simmons is the only player who cannot. And so you have him and four shooters out there kind of spacing the floor. Makes it a little bit more difficult for Miami's defense, I think. And, of course, they do represent a potential matchup for Miami in the playoffs. Right now they are tied for the fifth seed, just behind the Indiana Pacers because of all the different tiebreakers and things of that sort. But there's a good chance that they might be able to eventually surpass the Pacers as far as the Eastern Conference seeding is concerned. If Miami can't get to the third seed, then they match up with the fifth seed, which would be either Indiana or likely the Philadelphia 76ers. And if that's the case, we're looking at a potential first-round matchup between this team. They're not going to be playing in the eight regular season games. They will match up potentially in the playoffs. And so Miami has to be, they just have to do some scouting. They're going to have to continue to watch what this new potential lineup is. Now, as far as the Sixers are concerned, my cons, at least in my opinion, as far as this potential roster change, is how likely is it that Simmons is just going to concede that role to Milton? I don't see that an all-star veteran like Simmons is going to, I mean, he's not particularly old. He's not so clearly established or anything like that. But why would he just relent and have Milton initiate offense? I'm just not sure how that change is going to happen. I mean, I know there are questions as far as who's going to bring the ball down, whether or not they're just going to kick it to Simmons and have him kind of initiate offense from the half-court set. That's the possibility. And if that's the case, maybe he doesn't feel like he's being slighted or anything like that. But I think, moreover, you're also looking at why you would count on Simmons in the first place. I'm sorry, in Milton in the first place as your team's X factor. Can you really count on a second-year player with zero experience? You know, I know that there are questions about Duncan Robinson and Kendrick Nunn and others on the Heat roster as far as their ability to step up when the playoffs start, but I'm not sure if you want to handle or let Milton handle so much pressure here. And there's also something I mentioned on the weekly Locked On NBA show, which you should totally check out as well, where we kind of break down the same move. This kind of really smacks of desperation for me. Like, Brett Brown is probably coaching for his life here, trying to make some kind of change because the offense has not worked before. It can get really sluggish at times. And so inserting Milton is one way of changing things a little bit, maybe providing a necessary wrinkle that other teams can prepare for. When you have a player like Simmons who is such a negative factor, like he's just going to bog your offense down because there's nothing he can do offensively other than to get to the rim. If he's on the fast court, on fast break opportunities, then sure, then he'll get to the rim and it'll be fine. But if it's a half court set, there's just no way that Simmons can get his points going because he's just such a bad shooter. So these are concerns for the Sixers, and then how Miami is able to deal with them. I still give Miami an edge there because of their veteran experience, because of Jimmy Butler, because you know that he's going to be very, very focused on trying to limit whatever offense Simmons can provide. And you just have to count on somebody, one of the guards, either Nunn or Goron or somebody, trying to limit what Milton can do. Tyler Hero, there's not a lot of options there. Maybe you could kind of shift Derrick Jones Jr. into the starting lineup and see if he can try and limit what Milton can do and shift Butler down a little bit. Lots of possibilities for Eric Spoelstra. We'll have to see what happens when and if they eventually match up in the playoffs, but it's an interesting wrinkle to continue looking out for. That's it for today. Coming up later this week, I'll be having some great guests to help preview some potential playoff opponents. Plus, I'll continue to bring you the latest info on what's going on in Orlando and around the NBA. Be sure to subscribe and follow this podcast right now on your favorite podcast app, and you'll get the latest episode of Locked On Heat as soon as it's out. I'm David Ramil signing off, and thank you, as always, for your support.